Today we hear from Isaiah, Paul, and Matthew. The reading from Isaiah, from our Christian perspective, seems to be directly pointing to the words of Matthew concerning the birth of the Messiah. Although there is much doubt that the prophet understood what he was saying to refer to one individual in a distant time and place. Still, with our Christian lenses, that is what it looks like to us. The young woman that Isaiah told of that would bear a son and name him Emmanuel is the very same young woman, or more recently translated virgin, that will bear one named Jesus, who we know as Emmanuel, God with us. There's another player in our drama today, one that often goes by the wayside, a sidebar character of sorts. His name is Joseph. Joseph is a good guy. He's a carpenter by trade. He builds things out of wood, and Matthew tells us that he is righteous. He follows the rules. He's a good temple goer and a man of few words. As a matter of fact, Joseph is not quoted one time in Scripture, and he's referred to very infrequently. Mary and Jesus get top billing in this story, and why not? They are, after all, key players. Mary, in Luke's gospel, was approached by an angel and told that she was especially favored by God and would bear a son through miraculous intervention of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, the Son, fully human, fully divine, God among us, Emmanuel, is what the story is all about. The fact that God, once and for all, has acted in a definitive way to show his faithfulness and concern for his creatures, his people, by coming and living among them. Given that, it's a little surprise that Joseph takes a back seat. Behind the scenes or not, Joseph held the balance of the future of the unborn Messiah in his hands as much as Mary did. Everyone had a part to play in this unfolding drama, and every part was of utmost importance in ushering God into the world. Joseph had learned that his betrothed Mary was pregnant, and this was not a good thing at all, because Joseph knew that without a shadow of a doubt, he was not the father of the child. He felt entirely betrayed. He was furious and hurt. He was angry and had all sorts of horrible thoughts about Mary. Confusion was not at the bottom of the list. Mary had seemed so faithful. He thought she was such a nice girl. She had strong faith and was quiet. She didn't nag too much. She also attended temple and, by all outward appearances, would not break a law. It was hard to imagine her being unfaithful to their betrothal, the promise to keep oneself to the other, if you're female at least. But it was obvious that Joseph didn't know Mary as well as he thought he did. She was not the girl he thought she was, and this pregnancy was certainly proof of that. He had every right to have her stoned to death. As a matter of fact, it was pretty much his duty to stone Mary and her lover for their impropriety. For better or worse, that's still the case in much of the world. Thankfully, Joseph decided not to take the high road and drag Mary into the city court and make a public display of her infidelity that would end with her stoning. No one could tell Joseph who the father was. He just wanted to put this behind him and move on. There was no point in bringing added attention to himself. Joseph was not much for a public scene, for lots of attention drawn in his direction. Stoning Mary would cause no small amount of that. He just wanted to get on with his life. Maybe one day he would find a faithful wife, but for now, he just saved Mary by issuing her a bill of divorce and let her go on her way. It wasn't an instantaneous death, as stoning would be, but the odds were she wouldn't make it long. An unwed mother had little chance of survival in this culture. Her family would surely disown her, if not stone her themselves, because of the shame she had brought on them. Still, this was the most gracious thing Joseph could do, and so that was the plan. He was a decent man. He would tell Mary first thing in the morning, for now, the best thing to do is just try and get some sleep. This thing had been weighing on his mind for way too long. Not long after Joseph dropped off to sleep, his rest was intruded upon by an angel, a messenger of the Lord. And the angel clarified the situation for Joseph. Mary has not been unfaithful to you, at least not in the way that you think. This is God's doing. Something amazing is going on, and you are a part of it. This child is of God. This child will save God's people from their sins. Your help, your support, your willingness to be used is requested, Joseph. The angel even quoted Isaiah in talking to Joseph. Joseph would have heard those words and recognized them from his many years of being at worship in the temple. When he awoke, we are told that he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took Mary as his wife and raised Jesus as his own son. He didn't have to do that. Joseph could have wakened from that dream, rubbed his eyes, wondered what he had eaten for dinner that caused such a ridiculous dream, and gone on to tell Mary that he was giving her a letter of divorce. But he didn't. Joseph was an important part of bringing Jesus, God, into the world. He was open and he responded. He stepped out of the norms of his world and was a key player in ushering God into the world, even though he's gotten very little recognition throughout history. The angel didn't tell Joseph how this unborn child would save God's people from their sins. The angel didn't give Joseph many details at all. What the angel said is what every angel says when they come and visit: do not be afraid. That seems to be the message we need most before we're being asked to step into the unfolding action of God in our world. Do not be afraid. Trust that this is of God. But how do we know? How can we be sure? I tend to respond from a place of skepticism rather than a place of trust, especially when someone comes to me and tells me that God has told them to do something. I tend to want more proof or a more reliable explanation than God told me. Too often our world is filled with people who have used the rationale of God told me to explain all sorts of bad or harmful behaviors. Behaviors and actions that are not in good, loving God would want us to be involved in. Did God stop speaking through angels after Scripture was canonized? Or did God change God's methodology? Very rarely do we hear definitively and believe that God speaks to people in dreams. Perhaps we're not as open or not paying attention. Perhaps God tries to reach us and engage us in ways that he thinks might actually have success. God continues to reach out to each and every one of us. And each and every one of us has a role to play in this continually unfolding drama. We may not be front and center on stage, but our role is equally important. God is reaching out to each of us, wanting us, loving us, wanting us to be an active participant in his plan of returning his world to right order. Pay attention. Look for God's messengers in your life. They're there. Be open. Pay attention. Thank God for Joseph. Amen.